This is Damo's Recovery Session.
The number one newsbreaker in football.
Co-Tire will help make your job happen. 13 15 52 or co-tire.com.au. Triple M.
Damien Barrett, courtesy of Co-Tire. Welcome to you.
Hello, Jim and Bill. And retirement of an all-time great today, wasn't it? There's no doubting that. It's where you place him. It's up to the individual, isn't it, Bill? As the how high you rank him up the all-time great chart. But I reckon his CV qualifies, and probably qualified some time ago, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, as an all-time great.
Have a listen to this.
And this young boy, Nick Riewoldt, on the stretch.
He looks good, he moves well.
Looks all class. Number one pick in the AFL draft.
He's got one now.
Kicks a goal. He's first in AFL football.
I've got to do something I love, play a sport I love with a club that I absolutely love for 17 years.
I mean, Rui's someone that's been looked up to for a long time.
Freak in terms of work rate and courage.
Goes down towards half-court. Look out! Oh, Riewoldt! Remarkable.
He's been an incredible player, one of my favourite players to watch.
Make no mistake, I absolutely love the game. It's a game that exposes so much of who you are. It tells a story about who you are on a weekly basis.
Riewoldt has got 9 at Etihad. What a performance.
Champion.
And he's got a smile lighting up his face as well he should.
The sign of a true champion is someone that consistently does it year in, year out. And Bruce is a perfect example of that.
One of, if not the best forwards in the competition.
Bruce won't get there.
Oh. That's a mark.
Oh, he's broken the record for the most marks in the history of the game. A Nick Riewoldt.
Got on 2,907 career marks, an official record.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to play a game that I love. Thank you to the St Kilda Football Club for the opportunity to play with a club that I love.
That is one of the best.
It's been amazing.
Well said. And going out at the right time too, I reckon, Purple. I'd much prefer people to go out when you just like a little bit more of them than when you've just about had enough. And I reckon with Rui, you'd just like a little bit more if his body could give it.
Yes.
But he's saying, nope, I'm done, and I reckon it's the perfect time.
And the terminology he used himself on that aspect, Jim, in today's press conference was, there's a litre or two left in the tank, but that's about all. And that would have got him through, I think, 2018, Bill. And as recently as a month ago, he was really determined to prove his worth to get into that year. But clearly the conversations he's had with people around him, and most particularly and specifically Alan Richardson, about a fortnight ago, we now believe, you know, was pretty crucial to the decision made today. And you can hear in his voice, he's comfortable, even though it wasn't what he set out to do relatively recently.
Well, 17 years is 17 more than most people get.
Exactly. Actually, and this was good today too. Could I have tried any harder? Could I have pushed any further? The answer is no. And that's what you think when you see him. He got every bit of juice out of the lemon.
Yeah. And came into the system in a blaze of publicity, being the number one pick and the then saviour of the trouble with St Kilda Footy Club. And then, you know, we then see that in the second year he played, Bill, because he was still eligible in that second year to win the Rising Star. Yep. So he won that. Yep. He then added 6 best and fairest, 5 All-Australians, an AFL MVP, a four-time goal-kicker leader at St Kilda, and just the way he carried himself right to the absolute end.
He is a Hall of Famer. As soon as his time's up, in he goes, and probably a legend at some stage. Let's have a listen to what he said about the coaches.
To all of my coaches, obviously Richo sitting beside me, to Grant Thomas, who got me at a really young age and instilled in me so many great values and beliefs that have carried me throughout my entire career. To Ross Lyon, we're able to reach some amazing heights with Ross.
Someone he missed, Jim, I noticed. Now, it may have been an oversight.
Who?
But I don't think it was.
Tim Watson?
No.
Scotty Waters.
Scotty Waters.
Mm.
Ah.
It may have been an oversight, Bill, when he rattled them through, but I don't think it was. And anyway, so I'll let Nick explain that at some stage.
I tell you what he has done. He's changed his demeanour. When he first played, as you said, number one pick, and he was very serious. It was footy, 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 footy. And I reckon he did get shitty with the media too. No doubt about that.
The scrutiny, you mean?
The scrutiny and all that, and didn't like to be challenged or, but then a lot more relaxed and I think kids do this too when kids come along.
Yep.
And enjoyed footy and enjoyed life more, I reckon.
As a result.
The back end, I reckon.
Interestingly enough, too, he got a really significant offer from Eddie Maguire about 3 or 4 years ago to go to Collingwood. And while he never took it seriously, it was in the back of his mind for a period of time, be that a couple of hours or a couple of days or whatever it was. But he decided to stay, and again, significantly, as Brent Harvey did last year, as Luke Hodge did a couple of weeks ago, retires very comfortable in the knowledge of being a one-club player, which is really significant, isn't it, given the standing he's already had, and now that he can actually say that I only had the one club. I think it's a really nice way for him to go.
Does he retire as the best first-round draft pick ever?
You'd have to.
Yeah, no, Luke Hodge.
Luke Hodge would challenge.
And Brendan Goddard. There have been some bloody good ones, but I don't reckon anyone has played consistently better than him.
If you're in the Hodge camp, I reckon you'd have the conversation, wouldn't you? You'd argue it pretty strongly.
You would. His resume is extraordinary. But Nick didn't have the luxury of playing in as good a team. And I reckon his output in the hardest position on the field to play. And almost gets it.
And did it from basically year dot, yep. game one, didn't he? I mean, yep. Again, second year in, he played, I think, 9 or 10 games in the first year, which left him eligible for that rising star in that second season. And as we know, he took it over. In fact, he could have been All-Australian in that second season. In fact, he probably should have been and wasn't. But look, he made it six times other after that.
Too, didn't he? Not a traditional.
Or Tassie first.
Tassie and then Queensland. Yeah. And they got number 2 pick too, didn't they? Because they got Cozzy.
Yeah, in that same draft, they came in together. Yeah, they did.
Well, congratulations to him. Hopefully we'll get him on a little later on, and hopefully he'll have a long and illustrious broadcasting career with Triple M, because he's certainly taken to that.
Yep. He's already part of it, isn't he?
I mean,
he's done it beautifully, too.
Hodgie's
done, hasn't he, Jim? Yep. And actually become a serious media talent within the confines of his actual career itself.
Oh, that's all good. What about the footy on the weekend? Let's start with Collingwood and Adelaide. I was watching that game last night, and I just thought, surely to God, if you're 51 points up, you cannot cough that lead up. And they battled to get to 3 points down Adelaide, and then Collingwood did exactly what I thought they'd do and kick the next three and put it to bed.
Yeah.
And then just what happened after that was, it was just comical, wasn't it?
It's pretty symbolic, isn't it, of this season and Nathan Buckley's situation right now, isn't it, Jim? We got out of a battle over 2.5 hours, not knowing anything more than we did. I mean, you can't give up a 51-point lead, but then you reflect and you think, well, hang on. He got them 51 points up and kicked even when the Crows came back. And yet, bottom line is, you sit here right now and there's 7 wins, 10 losses, 1 draw on the season. And you don't know anything more than you did at the start. Match review panel?
Yes. Late breaking news. The MRP has laid 4 charges. Luke Hodge.
Get to it, Bill.
Luke Hodge can accept 1 game for striking Papley. 3rd offence in the season. Patrick Dangerfield. Can accept 1 game. That's bullshit.
That's the Brownlow.
So who are these MRP blokes that are going to lose the Brownlow for bloody Brownlow?
Well, if you want to know them, Bill, today, he was on business today.
Who sat on?
Jason Johnson, Nathan Burke, and Michael Jamison.
Ooh, I tell you what, if
it's the right decision, Bill, I have to say, and I think it's a courageous.
I reckon you could argue, but and Geelong will appeal that, I dare say.
I think they would have to. Yeah. I think he should. But as you know, the problem in so doing means that it will be bumped up to 2 weeks if they fail.
And they're trying.
Well, how's it read? Read it out.
I can accept 1 game. That's all.
We'll get some detail on that. But usually if it's 2 weeks down to 1, and then if you challenge and fail, which obviously is his right to do. But Jim, I'm convinced it's the right decision. It's not the decision I thought they'd make because of the Brownlow aspect to it. But I just thought if you took away the fact that it was Paddy Dangerfield and inserted a Tom Barger or a Bernie Vince, it's a week every time. Okay. Did you see it that way too?
I must admit, I haven't had a good look at it. I saw it briefly on a news TV screen as I walked through, and I must admit, I winced a bit when I saw it. Yeah. I thought, on the edge.
Yesterday, the Footy Show panel on Sunday, we were both split, and I know I'm a Geelong supporter, but we were split there because you can argue that he didn't know the ball had been released. And he didn't drive him into the ground, and I'm sure Geelong will have to appeal it.
Well, that's the next step, isn't it? And maybe the AFL system will still get to the situation where he is clear. But
Buddy was cleared, by the way, for contact with Hodge.
Okay.
High contact, not a striking motion. So.
Yep. Other topic we spoke about on the weekend, Bill, and the Footy Show anyway, yesterday was the kiss of Will Langford on Jared McVeigh on Friday night. Jared wasn't happy, and he did speak to the Triple M guys post game. I really felt it was an invasion of his private space, Jim, and his personal space. And while it can be laughed off, as you did, Bill, and you're entitled to have your view as well,
it's a bit of fun.
He kissed him on the lips and on the cheek in 2 separate incidents.
It's a bit of fun.
And for those who haven't heard it, Jared McVeigh not happy. This is on Triple M post game.
He did it beforehand as well earlier on, and I probably reacted too much and gave away a free kick. Yeah, look, I'm not going to stand there and take that. So, I thought it was pretty disrespectful, but, look, that's the way it is.
Yep. I mean, but I just thought it was a bit of fun. And it was strange Langford did that because McVeigh just kicked the goal and put him in front.
At that time.
At that time, yeah. In the goal square there.
But, so I mean, we've seen it with Hodge and Dangerfield, sorry, and Buddy. But they're great mates.
Yeah.
They've been great mates for the best part of 15 years. So you can do that to a great mate, and that's just something that you'll both laugh at. Whereas I got the feeling looking at those two out in the field that they were not great mates.
No, they didn't like each other at all. Exactly.
And so, the disrespectful use of the word there by McVeigh clearly summed up his situation, Jim. And I fully respect him having that view. Sorry, we jumped off the Crows, didn't we, which you were talking about once the Dangerfield news came through. And that is the massive news of the day, clearly. But yeah, the McGovern mark and goal, just some composure to get himself in a position to take the mark, take it and land on his feet.
It was
and
a great mark because he came from the front.
Sort of side on.
A side front. It was an unbelievable mark.
Takes a lot to kick a goal after the siren bell to influence and change the result, doesn't it?
Mental pressure.
Yeah.
And he was as far out as you were too.
No,
he was 70 metres out as well.
Half the distance he was and just snuck it in too.
He did.
A bit of redemption late too for Jake Kelly. Because three howling errors cost three goals in a row.
Were they the problems for them?
Collingwood players were coming from everywhere and bashing into him. Yep. I thought, oh, Jakey, he's had a bloody good year. But went to ground once, fumbled once. I'm just like, oh, he's having a nightmare. Anyway, he took the mark and re-entered. And McGovern took the big mark and kicked the goal that tied the game up. So he'll have felt better about that when the siren sounded.
And the 2 points, sometimes a draw doesn't do anything to anyone. But the 2 points in the context of the ladder as it stands after round 19 puts them 4 premiership points above Geelong. They'd already had a nice buffer of percentage. So if it stays as it is, the 2 premiership points they got was perfect. It's as good as a win for them in the context that Geelong had also had the draw against the GWS team earlier in the year, Bill. Obviously, there's 6 points clear of the Giants. And just on the Giants, there's news out this afternoon released by the Giants that Jeremy Cameron, Bill, who'd only just returned, one of the many people who just returned from a serious hamstring injury, has done that hamstring again. And as such, going into round 20, it's a minimum 3 weeks, you'd think. And I'd probably be erring on the side of caution, which would then get him into a, does he come back to the first final? You'd think he would, but that's how he's placed at the moment. And
there's a few hamstrings around.
Well, actually, your club, Geelong, Bill, brought back Nakia Cockatoo after, was it 5 or 6 weeks out with
the
hamstring?
6 weeks out.
Played very well.
Played very well.
And has done his hamstring again. And same would be hammy. Out for the same one and would be out now for a long period of time, I would have thought. 4 or 5 weeks, you think?
Having lunch yesterday in Geelong and he popped in. He's the nicest kid you'll ever meet. Come bouncing over. I said, how is it, mate? He goes, nah, it's no good. 5 or 6 weeks. And there's only 4 games to go.
Yeah.
So you've got to wait. Fine. And he was, they just need him up in that four line. So that's a big hammy also.
Hey, the retirement of Nick Riewoldt, Purple.
Yep.
Probably not bad timing for Alan Richardson because it would have stopped the journalist at that presser asking him about their stoppage structure in the last 10 seconds of that game. Oh. What in God's name are you doing? Firstly, allowing a ruckman just to flick it to the back.
Mm.
Secondly, the grounds, not just Ports, the grounds' most dangerous player, Robbie Gray, has got no one goal side of him and can just straighten up off 5 paces and kick a goal.
Yeah.
That's the stuff. That's why Alan Richardson and all the other 17 coaches will end up with no hair and all sorts of issues when they get later in their life. I mean, it's just mind-blowing to me that senior footballers on a field, on a ground can't work that out.
And Matty Lloyd and Kane Corns pulled it apart yesterday. Matty Lloyd again today. Blake Akers is not going to be looked upon favourably on that review situation, nor is Billings, nor is Dunstan. Nor is Seb Ross even as good as he's been
I didn't see the show, but I'm guessing what they would have been saying is line up all of your defensive side, at least make him kick it over your head.
There's only one way you're going to win it with 8 seconds to go, over the back. You know.
And it's easy to say, isn't it?
Magnificent.
But of the two people that Port Adelaide would have wanted to have had hands on that ball, in order, Ryder to Gray. And then he had to kick it
and
from
49,
didn't he?
And it did go
through
okay, did it?
Yeah, it did.
We still haven't seen.
You're big on this, aren't you?
I want to see a goal frame.
Yeah, like goal line vision.
Goal line vision, because it was close, and obviously it was a goal, because who was it? Membry, I think, didn't go berserk and said it wasn't.
He didn't complain about it. Yeah.
But I'd like to just see a vision of it. I haven't seen one
vision
of it.
No, they cut away, didn't they, to the celebrations?
But not even now, 2 days later.
What about the Port Adelaide fans all exiting?
Oh, that sucked in.
They deserve it, don't they, Jim? When you're doing that, bad luck. That could have been one of those memories you have for the rest of your life. And now they've got that memory, but it's for the wrong reasons. What about the day we missed Robbie Gray kicking that goal?
It was 100 seconds to go. They needed 2 goals. They were 10 points down.
Yep.
They kicked 9 goals for the game and kicked 2 in
93 seconds 93 or whatever seconds. It was. Yeah, Jason Johannesson was allowed to do what he did for a lot of 2016 and on grand final day, and that is just run free. Yep. Essendon chose to do it. And if you're John Worsfold, you're probably going to be quite buoyant about what happened there to a point in that there was, 10 minutes to go, Bill?
Yep.
And they were basically level or within a goal of each other. And then the Bombers just went bang and kicked the last, I think, five,
Dogs.
Wasn't it?
But
the Bulldogs just went bang. But on the back of Johannesson having his best game for the year and setting it up alongside Marcus Bontempelli, you have to ask the question now, why didn't you shut down? It's at some stage when the game got out of hand, as it did, with Johannesson and Bontempelli being the dominant figures. Yep. So. I know it's very simple to say shut down JJ and you're okay against the Bulldogs, but you at least need to pay some attention to him.
And you know, Danaher, isn't he a serious player?
Yeah. Yeah.
He is a serious player.
The way he's come through this year and even come through even after a slowish start, wasn't it? It was good from an Essendon perspective, but from an overall competition perspective, it really kicked into gear around about round six or seven, and he's been extraordinary. And
big forwards on the weekend, Hawkins, Kennedy.
Well, Kennedy kicked the bag again, and he's been out for some time, and they're back. Loving what Hawthorne's doing, as you called on Friday night, Jim, and as we discussed on Saturday, just the turnaround there. And there's still six premiership points outside of the eight. West Coast sitting in eighth on 40, there on 34.
Yep.
Big game against Richmond on Sunday. We said it was a big game against Sydney this time last week, and they managed to meet that occasion. And Sunday afternoon, I would think it's a very big moment for this competition this year.
I don't get enough credit from Fat, because I told you Hawthorne were going to win on our show on Friday.
You did.
I thought they were always going to win that game of footy. I love the way Hawthorne
was coming around to you, boy. You felt like they were going to win for some reason.
With their injury list, I mean, it's extensive, and the injuries they've got are significant players. Don't you reckon? Like, Frawley's a significant player. Stratton's a significant player. Birchall's a, I mean, these are big-time players for them. They're not just making up numbers.
Gibbo.
There's another one. So, look, I mean, think of their backup.
Well, that's their four in the back.
Exactly right.
Premiership players.
I think what Alistair Clarkson's doing with them is amazing.
It really is. And doing it on the back, as you say, of the change in mindset as much as personnel that he clearly
Guapolo, I think's missing
another
as
one.
Well.
Another one out.
I mean, these are big-timers, I reckon. They've just been amazing.
Speaking
of big-timers, Benny Brown. The season he's putting together, Purple, in the 16th now ranked team, is just nuts. And if you watch, which we both did at the ground on the weekend, the presence of him is what I'm loving.
Yep.
I mean, he's just a big presence now.
Gave a couple off too, didn't he, Jim? Gave one to Higgins at a crucial stage. That was of the last quarter, wasn't it, I think, when he got that one. But for him to actually kick four goals in those swirling conditions, for his size and the way he plays the game, it just underlines the progress he's made. But every year, the 4 years he's had in the system, he's just got better markedly every single year. And we keep saying,
he hasn't done a preseason.
He's yet to do a preseason in his life, and hoping for him, he can actually do one. The other big forward who we're talking about right now is Jack Riewoldt, who missed for Richmond, but they went up to the Gold Coast, and in keeping with what they're doing in 2017, just did what they had to do. It was a bit scrappy, a bit ugly at times, but they just came back with the four points, Jim, and just doing probably better than any club throughout the course of the 19 completed rounds. Better over that duration than any other club to this point.
Well, we've said on this show, Purple, all of that is spot on. No, nothing you said in that sentence is anything but 100% spot on.
But
until they win a final, no one cares what Richmond do until they get into a final and win it. Once they do that, they're legitimate.
Yeah. But you just have to admire how they've stuck to their task. And I've been as big a naysayer as anyone about them, but it's right in front of us right now that they're very real.
Jack Hogan. Riewoldt.
Yeah, just before we move off, Jack, Stitches in the eyeball officially, and doctor's decision whether he comes back this week. But Nessie injury. Jesse Hogan, eighth game he was playing on the weekend. And given what he's been through with the contractual situation, the illness and then passing of his father, the testicular cancer, the suspension he had at the start of the year, nothing has gone right for him. And now with the broken collarbone. They were saying yesterday, though, that the fact that he's a clean break is actually of some benefit to this part of the body in by way of healing. So they're hoping that it's a Lin Jong type of miraculous recovery to get him back. But geez, missed some footy, hasn't he? And the lack of conditioning, which wasn't apparent last week. And he was going okay, wasn't he, on the weekend before McDonald got him. But he just felt for him. And he was in real pain, wasn't he?
Quite
distressed post-game.
Connor Blakely did his collarbone twice. Did it in the first quarter, went back out and did it again.
Collarbone, was it, or shoulder?
Both, I reckon.
Well, I can't believe they put him back out.
No.
And I'd like to get a proper reason why those medicos did put him back out there for the Dockers. Just two more quick ones, and we do finish with a negative, Bill. The Carlton situation, I get what they're doing in the big picture, but, gee, they're... They're hard to watch.
Well,
really hard to watch.
They're just young and tired.
They've only got the 1,300 points four after the 19 rounds, and even that's a figure less than the notoriously low scorers.
Played another
Dockers
kid on the weekend, Mackay, and he looked all right.
Yeah, it was his second game, and yeah, he looks all right, but they just got to turn it around at some stage. And we touched on the injury woes of GWS with Jeremy Cameron before being out for probably three matches now.
Mm. All right, Purple, so are we sending a bus anywhere?
We will, but it's just a little mini one.
All right.
Just down to the Blues. Just want to make sure they hold it together for the last four games, Jim. It's been a pretty ugly patch for them for a while, and I would like to see an improvement between now and round 23. Hold it together. Hold it together.
The issue for the Blues fans is how long-suffering they are.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't just happening. This isn't the first year. This has been 3 or 4 years now of similar output.
I think they've got an appreciation for where they're at, but in defence and in fairness and in support of them, I think they want to see something in the next 4 weeks, because under the second season of Brendan Bolton, I think it's something that they're ready for, but at the same time want to see just a little bit more.
Dusty Martin into $1.50 to win this year's Brownlow medal at the tab. $1.50.
Thanks for that, Purple, and thanks to Coates Hire, of course.
That was Damo's recovery session.
Well done, Purple.
Coates Hire will help make your job happen. 13 15 52 or coateshire.com.au. Triple M.